שלום, אנחנו נמשיך היום שיעור בנושא העיבור.
Hello. We're going to continue the lesson on the topic of Ibur, starting with excerpt number 10. You can ask questions on CAP TV. Select the questions will be asked during the lesson.
We are born in this world, in the will to receive, to a certain measure, with certain qualities for each individual, and there is a point in the heart in it, as we call it, a point, the beginnings of the upper world, a part, a divine part from above, as we call it. And we need to transfer the importance, the recognition of the greatness from our will to receive, which grows to that point, to the will to bestow.
So
that the will to receive will remain as a black dot only, and the will to bestow from that point, from that drop of seed, from the little spark that it was, will widen and grow to the size of Bina and Keter. That's how we move from one world to the next. And everything depends on the importance of the point in the heart, the point of bestowal, love, the coming out of oneself towards others. And the more we disregard and reject the will to receive, until it shrinks into a dot. Although in it, at first, we feel the whole wide world, and it becomes a dot, as it was to begin with, as we learn from the four phases of direct light, as a black dot within the white light. And the spark will widen into being the world of Ensof, infinity, entirely that white light. And this transformation we need to facilitate by our exertion, with increasing appreciation and estimation of that point of love and bestowal, that spark, the quality of the Creator, in comparison to, well, how we keep diminishing ourselves
our
own value and estimation of the will to receive, the force through which we, for now, see this wide world as it appears to us. And our whole work is to diminish our world down to a black dot, and the spark in us, we need to still find it, locate it, and magnify it until it becomes Ensof, the great enlightened world. This process begins from conception, Ibur in Hebrew. Where we regard only the point of the white light, the spark, and everything that we do only in order to grow it. We see ourselves as being within Bina, within the womb. And that way we advance. So, let's begin.
קטע מספר 10 מתוך בעל הסולם שמעתי
Excerpt number 10 בעל הסולם שמעתי 53 The matter of limitation. The matter of limitation is to limit the state one is in and not want gadlut. Instead, one wants to remain in one's present state forever. And this is called eternal dvikut. Regardless of the measure of gadlut that one has, even if one has the smallest katnut, if it shines forever, it is considered having been imparted eternal dvikut.
Here, it speaks of our work in respect to our will to receive, which we need to diminish, meaning from the height, the size of the whole world, down to eventually a black dot, as it truly is, meaning to change our values. And so, all of the work here, as Baal Sulam tells us, is to work on constantly diminishing our estimation of our will to receive, to leave it as it is, at least, not to want gadlut and greatness. And in a state of conception, we also don't want and we don't carry out any actions in order to increase our will to bestow. Rather, this is done by itself. Our work is not yet in being drawn towards the will to bestow. We're unable to work on the increasing of that spark, but that is done by the upper force. Our work is only in order to guard ourselves in a state where we don't want to work with the will to receive, and that's sufficient for the upper one to expand our will to bestow. And through the light, we will feel that He makes a form within a form, meaning that each time we will feel, increasingly we will feel the changes, the motions, alterations in our will to bestow. So the 9 months of pregnancy, that which we need, it's about not interfering with anything, neither in the force or the intention, meaning I just want to be annulled towards the upper one. And this is great work. But it's relatively passive in comparison to what will come later and what we understand from our own world, where we work with will to receive. So here, we make an effort to bring ourselves to a state where we don't want any change. Not for greatness, not for smallness, not for any intervention on our part in what's happening, but rather to allow the upper one to work upon us. This work extends throughout the entire spiritual ladder. Later, we only add no condition, no rule that we're going to follow in each degree in the spiritual ladder is never revoked, never erased, never becomes redundant. We only keep adding. And so in the next degrees, the subsequent degrees, we'll come to a state where we feel how that restriction that we have here, so to not intervene, not to do anything, we'll see how it works in spirituality, in more advanced states. It expands. If we add, then we add specifically in order to allow the Creator the place, the option to work in us. And this is called the work, the service of God. And we, for ourselves, we have no action. We have nothing we actually do. We only make room for the upper force to perform that action. And we ask it of him, we thank him. Our participation is always passive participation, though it becomes gradually more conscious. Again, the text.
Excerpt number 10. The matter of limitation is to limit the state one is in and not want gadlut. Instead, one wants to remain in one's present state forever. And this is called eternal dvikut. Regardless of the measure of gadlut that one has, even if one has the smallest katnut, if it shines forever, it's considered having been imparted eternal dvikut.
Of course, this is according to one's specific state and degree. But for now, it is so. It is expressed in that form. So, how do we define our desired state where we want to remain in a constant manner, not to want anything other than that? What do we do in that? How do we bestow contentment by doing so, to the extent that we're able? Is it that by wanting to remain this way, I am actually doing something? Am I giving contentment to the Creator in that? Please. Rapidly. We have a lot of work.
The matter of not wanting anything, it's kind of hard for me to imagine it, but I suppose that there is the building of some kind of attitude that comes to a person from above.
Not to interfere. Simply not to interfere.
You have to be in a state where we're constantly in expectation of some kind of attitude from the Creator, and not to forget about His attitude and our connection to Him.
The upper one knows what's good and bad for the lower one, and this is great work. But this is the work, to be ready to accept that.
Since we know that the light works through society, so when we're talking about being cleaved on to society, without intervening with our will to receive, neither in thought nor in actions,
by being attached to the environment, performing actions towards the environment, caring for the environment, developing the point in the heart within the environment, then the light acts upon this and does the work.
And so, there is the upper force that's operating in it, because when we're in this state, we draw the light, and eventually it acts.
There's great work in it, because a person's own inclination is to always interfere and try to control things, but here you need to allow the upper one to control, to crown the Enod Milvado. There's none else besides him without interfering. And this is more bestowal than otherwise.
Yeah, the first step is that you know who did it. That it's not your will to receive, but that it's coming from the root and this the right entrance into the work.
Right, I begin to establish a new attitude. It all comes from one force, and I address it, and I ascribe everything to it, and of course it bestows contentment, even if it's not very active, but I ascribe things to the Creator.
And also there's the connection between the measure to which we diminish ourselves and our ability to be adhered to the friend's desire, to the desire of society, and from that to feel the desire of the upper.
The main thing is to constantly seek out the point in the heart in you which adheres to the friend. Then, by that, the Creator, the light, operates upon you.
The preferable state is excerpt number 11, Bala Sulam, Shamati 53, The Matter of Limitation. When Israel came to receive the Torah, Moses brought forth the people to the bottom of the mountain, as it is written, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, means thoughts. Hilhurim. Moses led them to the end of the thought and the understanding and the reason, the lowest degree there is. Only then, when they agreed to such a state, to walk in it without any wavering and motion, but to remain in that state as if they had the greatest gadlut, and to be happy for it. This is the meaning of serve the Lord with gladness. This is so because during the Gadlut it is irrelevant to say that He gives them work to be in gladness, since during the Gadlut gladness comes by itself. Instead, the work of gladness is given to them for the time of Katnut, so that they will have joy although they feel Katnut. And this is a great work. This is called the main part of the degree, which is a discernment of Katnut. This discernment must be permanent. And the Gadlut is only an addition. Also, one should yearn for the main part, not for the additions.
Did you deliberately not read the interpretation of the word Hirhurim? Or do you not have it in the text? It's very important.
When Israel came to receive the Torah, Moses brought forth the people to the bottom of the mountain, as it is written, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, a mount, Hebrew. Har means thoughts, Hebrew, Hirhurim. Moses led them to the end of the thought, and the understanding and the reason, the lowest degree there is. Only then, when they agreed to such a state, to walk in it without any wavering and motion, but to remain in that state as if they had the greatest gadlut, and to be happy for it. This is the meaning of serve the Lord with gladness. This is so because during the gadlut it is irrelevant to say that He gives them work to be in gladness, since during the gadlut gladness comes by itself. Instead, the work of gladness is given to them for the time of katnut, so that they will have joy although they feel katnut. And this is a great work. This is called the main part of the degree, which is a discernment of katnut. This discernment must be permanent, and the gadlut is only an addition. Also, one should yearn for the main part, not for the additions.
Usually, during that period, a person has all sorts of inclinations given from above to grow, increase himself, make himself more well known. All sorts of urges to that effect awaken in him, opposite the katnut, the lowliness, and he must understand that this is the work given to him from above. Until he agrees with the fact that he's zero, he doesn't need anything, neither now or in the future, then he passes through that state and he can continue into the period of conception. And before that, no. Meaning, until a person agrees with the fact that he's really a zero, just a dot, he cannot enter conception. And that we need to feel on our flesh and to try to maintain that feeling until we have the letters of the work. Until we understand where exactly is that little hole, like the head of a needle, through which we enter the spiritual world. So how do we locate the entrance to the spiritual world? Please.
When Rav just described it, it sounded like this empty place in need of fulfillment, and that we actually have to use it some way. We have to help each other precisely in that place, to not go in the direction of the ordinary fulfillment, but to use it to build a chisaron for spirituality.
It's a very delicate matter, which requires a great amount of the reforming light, and gradually we listen to all the advices, we are patient, and we'll come there.
Yeah, the work in the initial state is to constantly try and see where is it coming from, who's doing it.
To remember that the work is always between us, and specifically in magnifying the friends and lowering oneself to lowliness. They are the great ones, they are the upper state, they are in bestowal.
From this world, we're used to earning more, competing. Therefore, our preparation before every lesson, Zoom, Yeshivat Chavarim, and so on, is how do we bring ourselves to a gathering?
Yes, one always needs to look for where he identifies with the friends, with the group, and not with himself. And then it's easier to determine that he's a zero.
And the entrance is the point of annulment, where a person is left with nothing besides his desire to awaken the greatness of the goal in society.
Yes, to me this also sounds like the entrance to the spiritual state, that emptiness felt by the person. On one hand, he has more emptiness, and on the other, he has the greatness of the Creator, and he makes use of it in order to give importance to the friends.
That's something very special and unique, hard to put in words. On the one hand, being an ubar and small, on the other hand, the outburst of a very big desire.
Yes, because the connection between you and the Creator does not exist. You need to construct it. And by that construction, in the process, you come to understand, and then there's happiness in the work.
Yeah, Rav described the different states that a person goes through here that are in contrast with the states of Gadlut and so on. I think that the safest way not to fall in these states is to serve the friends. Always see what they need.
And
if we put it in context of the text we've read, then all of the doubts, the thoughts, we put them off to one side, and we're ready to drink everything that the society has to offer.
Rob, questions? Everything's clear. Huh?
He keeps repeating the fact that in Katnut also you need to be in happiness. What does it mean? How can I be happy in Katnut, in smallness?
But what are you going into the Katnut for?
That's the question.
What do you mean it's a question? It's not a question. It's a stage on your way to the entrance into spirituality, and you're coming closer to the Creator. It always has to be in gladness. If it's not in gladness, it's not in the direction of spirituality. Spirituality can't go against the desire, so you'll have to incarnate again and again until you have this desire.
You said there are intervention and not to want gadlut above the current state. How can you not want it? He says here, remain in your own current state. Why? Naturally, I want to develop.
You can't develop since the will to receive is all that you have right now. So how can you develop? To develop in it, you have to diminish this corporeal will to receive up to the point where it's called necessity. That's neither praised nor condemned, which is a dot, that you keep it just in order to advance, and everything else, all your attention. You could be rich, you could be whatever. I'm talking about your attention. You have to completely dedicate it, focus it on your spiritual development, on the spiritual development of this point. And therefore, I don't understand the problem. Sure, you needn't want more than what you need in order to exist. Otherwise, you're concerned with luxuries. Luxuries, it means at the expense of spirituality.
He says, look, the main essence of the degree is katnut, it needs to be constant, and the gadlut is an addition.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
What do you mean, addition?
He says the mainstay of the degree is the aspect of katnut, meaning I need to be in katnut, and this needs to be constant, permanent.
And
the rest is just an addition. You understand? So how do I get to that addition? How does it come to me? If in my head I'm always in katnut, in smallness.
I have the will to receive with which I was born. And it develops and reaches a state where I want to swallow the entire world. I want to use it. I see that it's a lost cause. Nothing's going to come out of it. Gradually, I come to the understanding that there's no point in developing this because it's going to die and be buried together with the body and I'll get nothing as a result. How do I reach something more? More is eternal, complete spirituality. I don't know what spirituality is, but I'm searching for a meaning in life. That's more correct, more true. For where should I really invest myself in order to get an eternal reward and not to lose like I see from all the businesses of this world? And this is how I come to the wisdom of Kabbalah. I don't feel who's leading me, what's pushing me. I still don't feel what the point in the heart is, but I have a chisaron. I want to deal with the most preferable thing. I'm despaired of everything else. And this world is gradually also coming to this. And then, I gradually, after a few years that I'm studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, I start hearing, and also feeling a bit that I'm divided into two parts, that my will to receive wants something from this world nonetheless, and I have another spark point in the heart that I can increase, and then in the will to bestow I feel an upper reality. So I have two desires, the will to receive with respect to this world and the will to receive in regards to the next world. Only it's called the will to bestow. In the meantime, for me, it's all the will to receive. I want to grab both worlds. So what are you asking about?
How to still the engine, as if he says to still the engine.
So you're told it's one at the expense of the other. It doesn't work any other way. You can't do business in both places at the same time. You have to decrease your will to receive, diminish it in this world in order to increase at its expense the will to receive for the upper world. The will to receive in the meantime, you're not in Lishma. You can be in both.
It's unclear how to advance in such a state.
So you have the environment, you have books, you have many means by which you can allocate importance to the desire for spirituality instead of the one for corporeality.
What should I be doing then?
You should increase spirituality as something important in your eyes. Spirituality meaning to grab the next world, the creator, grab everything.
So what are the actions I need to take then? I have to advance somehow.
In order to grab everything, you have to concede this corporeal desire for you to have a spiritual desire. You're told that in spirituality you'll get everything, but you have to have a desire for that. Everything else only as necessities.
How is my concession expressed?
Attention. In attention.
Meaning, in practice, in the ten?
That you invest everything that you can in it. Everything you see that the Kabbalists advise you to do.
But you see, we're constantly in doubts. We're at the bottom of the mountain.
Food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, everything that's related to this world, you diminish it to the level of necessities, whether it's your profession, health, livelihood, to the extent to which you need it. That's it.
Right, I've lowered them, let's say, and
against this, you raise your engagement in spirituality.
So how do I perform the acts that advance me, promote me the fastest? Not to be delayed with all the nonsense around it, but how to enter the work in the most rapid manner possible to reduce the gaps, shorten the times.
When I wrote my three books, thin books, not something big, I wrote them in 1983. And then I wrote nothing until 1991, 92. Why? I saw that it's not to my benefit. Not to my benefit. And other such things. Meaning a person has to, as much as he can, limit himself in not allowing, in not giving food to his ego. In different actions. Okay. Peter.
Можно подробнее, пожалуйста, по последнему отрывку?
Во-первых, can you elaborate on the last text, the last passage we've read?
The entire excerpt?
Нет, ваш вопрос конкретно.
No, the question you asked.
Могу ли я реально его распознать? Первое, второе.
Can I locate spirituality? That's the first thing. And secondly, if we can help each other locate spirituality. And the last question is it my entrance to spirituality or isn't it?
If I shift the emphasis from my own importance to the friend's importance, the group, the creator, humanity, everything that's outside of me, but clearly that it's society, the world, and the creator, then that means that I'm advancing this way. That's where I have to put my attention. That's what I have to invest in. Gleb, okay? Okay, let's go.
Riga.
Wait a moment. Riga. He's probably staying there.
No.
Good morning. What does it mean that Moses brought them to the bottom of the mountain? They have doubts and they agree to stay there forever.
It means that the force that pulls them to spirituality, called Moshe, from the Hebrew Moshech, to pull. He brings them to doubts. He pulls them there. These are two very hard discernments. And if a person agrees with it to continue, even though that he has many doubts, contemplations, and lowness, lowliness, beneath all doubts, beneath all contemplations, it means that he is at the bottom of the mountain, and then when he truly diminishes himself to zero, meaning decreases the will to receive to the point that where I just exist, I don't need more than this, and I pay attention to nothing else, but only to the minimum to which you, the Creator, revive me. Meaning the nature, that nature revives me. If so, then I'm ready for the reception of the Torah.
Let's say that I wanted to scrutinize what you said, that in 82, 83 you wrote books and it wasn't in your best interest.
Not that it wasn't to my benefit, but it was necessary. It was beneficial, both in terms of my pride and also because there was also already demand for it in Russia. The American consulate bought the books from me in order to bring it in, because back then it was impossible to do it in any other way, but later I heard that they were dispersed.
So let's say I'm in a group and friends come to me saying, listen, there is a certain role that you need to take, and I know ahead of time that this role will cause my ego great joy, and I know myself, and there is no choice. The group comes to me and tells me, take that role. So it's clear to me that spiritually it's harmful to me.
It's a problem. Problem. Better to take any corporeal role regarding the group. Be responsible for peeling, I don't know, something. Spiritually wise, it's a problem. If it's something spiritual, you have to share it with another friend or two, or a few friends, then it's already something else. But on your own, it's not good. Unless, well, it depends what a spiritual role is. That Chaim Ratz translates all of our texts into English. It's work. Spiritual, I don't know, but it's work. Sure, a person can take pride in anything, but the question is he pushing himself at this? His self, is he pushing his self into it?
The actual question, this scrutiny, is to begin with something flawed, because I know that regardless, I have no ability to make the right decision.
No, obviously that behind all these things, there's always the ego standing, also behind the will to bestow. But it's just working in a different way, but still, it's helpmate against him, the ego. In short, I gave you advice. If the role is relatively spiritual, that you're going to become famous, share it with other people, at least a few.
Up to now, I thought I heard that we do not deal with the will to receive. We just increase the importance of bestowal, and as a result, the reforming light sorts the desires.
Right.
Now I heard that our work in the stage of conception is actually to reduce the will to receive.
Otherwise, what can you do? Who are you? You're going to increase the will to bestow. What kind of will to bestow do you have? To the extent to which you increase your will to receive in the direction of necessities where it's neither praised nor condemned, to that extent you can pay attention to and increase the will to bestow. To bestow somehow, to society, organize the group, something.
Another question. What does it mean not to interfere with the Creator's work?
In the time of Ibur, it's especially important because on the one hand, an ordinary person, a person's used to working and putting himself in each and every action. Then I want to be a part of it. I'm willing, I'm ready, and this is work. His work is that he limits himself, restricts himself. That he allows the upper to work. It's like a baby on his mother's hands. Or, furthermore, when he's in the womb, what does he work on? Imagine that you're in a world, and the entire world is a womb. The entire world is a womb. And you have to bring yourself to a state where you're an embryo. How much you have to diminish your desires, thoughts, actions, yours. Maybe you're doing a lot of work, but it's not yours. What you want is for the upper to work through you. But you aren't present in it. You just want to feel. You saw how a baby, if he's being caressed or something, he's like, he doesn't move. He feels good that he's been taken care of, something. This is actually how the fetus in the womb is. This is how you have to limit yourself and to fix yourself so you'll feel that the Creator is working through you. It's very emotional, it's very powerful, but you have to be in expectation of it. Therefore, it's strong work. It's serious work, and then you'll feel. But when you allow him to work and pass all these actions through you, you're still learning this, but in a way that you do not intervene, in a passive way. It's like kids going to school now. Look at the initial stage, first grade. Passive work. Come, go. They don't know what's going on with them. They have to do this, do that. Until a person goes deeper into action. From year to year, they're being brought into more active actions. Therefore, the Ibur is full of degrees. Everything that goes on later is based on it's where a person prepares himself for the ibul. After birth, it's already in the ibul. You got it from the upper, and then you get only the forces to actualize it. But everything exists in the embryo. Later, you get only the forces to develop. But in ibul, you get the forces of bestowal that only later on you develop. Therefore, the secret of ibul leida, birth and conception, is an article that we'll study later. But to our matter, I don't intervene in the Creator's work. It's His work, and I just want to feel how it works until you'll feel that there are different fluids, parts, molecules, things working in you, until you'll start feeling the atoms speaking between them, as if, so to speak. But you'll see. Dudi?
I didn't understand what it means to reduce my desires in money, food, family, knowledge, all that.
To reduce them to the level of necessities. It's God forbid we don't leave our work, our family, whatever we're doing, obviously. What we're talking about is, it's like Gilshon asked, that you switch the importance. I can be the owner of an empire, earning billions. Doesn't matter. It's not standing in the way. The question is, where's the importance? But this is very special. Am I not deceiving myself? Where's my importance? What's important for me? And here it's a problem. It's a problem. I felt that I can't.
So how is it possible?
I felt that I can't. It's a matter of business. Of a business. The business was so complicated with customers and everything that I had to leave. I couldn't be here and there. And but really? If it wouldn't have been something related to customers, patients, and so on, I'd stay. Rabashi also didn't allow me to leave my job. But I saw that it's impossible, that there has to be someone there that's taking 100% care of the corporeal matters, and so I passed it on to one of the doctors. That's it. There was no other way to go about it. We're a different kind of business that's unrelated to health, to taking care of people. I'd continue. He didn't allow me to leave. The main thing is to pay attention to businesses that increase a person's pride, greatness. Publicizing his name in the world or in society or something. Here you have to be cautious.
So how do you judge if a person feels something is feeding his ego? Do you cut it off?
Gently, gradually, not just so. What is he going to be? Where will he get his enlivenment from? Only from that soon I'll be famous, I'll be well known, this, that. It could be on a very small level in some little place of work or something. Doesn't matter. Moshi.
I want to ask about the importance. You keep saying, keep talking about estimation. The more I esteem spirituality, the more I advance.
The more you shift the attention to it from corporeality, I mean, you don't leave it, but it's a matter of importance.
And I want to understand, what is the, how is it expressed, that estimation, that appreciation? For us, it's all, in this world, it's all about money. With money, you can measure whatever it may be to see how important it is to you. And in spirituality, what is the, how do we value things? By the amount of hours I give to it?
No, I can't measure it in some corporeal way. It's either money, it's also weight, how much does the gold weigh or something. I can't, in meters or something. No. Here, my measurement is the measure to which I consider it, the matter, the extent to which it's important to me.
Right. So, I don't know how to measure it. I don't know. Let's say, 20 years ago, I'm asking myself, and now, is spirituality more important to me or less? I come to the lessons the same way. I come study the same hours. I invest. Sure. In the beginning, sure, a person invests a little more. He takes another role. Gradually, yes, but that I can understand. But here you say you need to appreciate it more.
To have to find this measurement.
So what is that measurement, that standard?
Attention. What am I drawn to? What do I appreciate? That's how it is. And everything. In corporeality, it's the same. Only there you can measure it somehow. The hours you invest in it, the amount of money, power, something. Here, you have to see how much you're drawn to it, how much are you investing in it. Now suppose you and all the veteran students, you're here for already more than 20 years, which is the initial phase, and now you're entering the bull. Yeah? This is actually the period that's supposed to be before you. Now the times are going to be much more quick and things are going to change more rapidly. But it all depends on the attention.
In spirituality, perhaps you can examine how much I value it according to the masach or what?
The more you advance in spirituality, the less you have to check. You only want to check the measure to which I'm relieving myself from the Creator's business, not standing in His way.
I need to check how the value of bestowal becomes higher for me. You say it's in spirituality and I cannot measure it. Perhaps I'm doing something incorrectly.
No, still, don't say. Today you can bear hearing about bestowal more than before.
Right, so it's not consciously, it's I can't measure it.
Still can't measure it, but it's more. You hear that you have to bestow, probably I even have to love others somehow, but I hear, previously I couldn't even hear it.
So, it's not a terrible thing that I can't measure it, I understand.
It's not that bad. This is how it's going to be. I don't want to measure. I have to decrease all my imaginary businesses to zero. Imaginary meaning what? That they contribute nothing, that I gain nothing from them, but that they stop me. And especially, like I said, these are these kinds of businesses that lead to pride. Like Bala Sulam says, that if a person becomes famous, then it is a punishment. Here you have to be cautious.
Excerpt 12 from Rabash, Sanctification of the Month. Person must take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven on the lowest quality and to say about it that to him
even that state, the lowest that can possibly be, meaning one that is entirely above reason, when he has no support from the mind and the feeling that he can build its foundations on it, at that time he is seemingly standing between heaven and earth, having no support. For then everything is above reason. Then, a person says that the Creator sent him this state where he is in utter lowliness, since the Creator wants him to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven in this manner of lowliness. At that time, he takes it upon himself because he believes above reason that the situation he is in now comes to him from the Creator, meaning that the Creator wants him to see the lowest possible state in the world. And yet, he must say that he believes in the Creator in all manners, and this is considered as making an unconditional surrender.
Again,
a person must take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven on the lowest quality and say about it that to him, even that state, the lowest that can be, meaning one that is entirely above reason, when he has no support from the mind and the feeling that he can build its foundations on it, at that time he is seemingly standing between heaven and earth with no support, for then everything is above reason. Then, a person says that the Creator sent him this state where he is in utter lowliness, since the Creator wants him to take upon himself the burden of the kingdom of heaven in this manner of lowliness. At that time, he takes it upon himself because he believes above reason that the situation he is in now comes to him from the Creator, meaning that the Creator wants him to see the lowest possible state in the world. And yet, he must say that he believes in the Creator in all manners. And this is regarded as him having made an unconditional surrender.
And after this begins spirituality. But then, he gives the Creator, he allows the Creator to fill everything that he used to previously fill himself. How do we? Sometimes we feel this point in a state where we're in descent, despair, helplessness, where we really don't feel. We feel like the ground beneath us is dropping, that we lose our confidence. We're having this feeling that we're close to spirituality here. The main thing is not to run, but to thoroughly feel the state, how unpleasant it is, and what forces do we need for the state to become preferable. What are we missing in order for this state to become preferable? This is the question. So first, let's depict the state of what does helplessness mean, and how do we rise from this state in unconditional surrender and invert it into the preferable, good, nice state, where I start breathing new air, spiritual air. It's after I suffocate. Suddenly, I find out that It's not only going on in my corporeal lungs, but would a fish have scales? Oh, so be it. It's truly so. Meaning getting new air through a new mechanism. Go ahead.
You hear Gershon? How do I, Gershon especially, how do I feel the despaired state where I'm humiliated and so forth? And I feel suddenly that this is a state that if I turn that into a desired state, meaning that my attitude to this state will change, then it's the beginning of my spiritual development. Meaning, we don't ask for the state to change, but my appreciation of it. Go ahead.
First of all, it sounds like that's already the desirable state. That there's this discernment that I want my attitude for the state to change. And what rises for me is that we need a different force, a strange force, an upper force that's unknown, that will give us this force to make that step ahead.
This is a matter of none as wise as the experienced. As tough and unpleasant as it is, once again it happens and it's like a wheel. There is a spiritual progress that this lowly state provides time and again. Experience not to persist and not give up.
Yeah, when there's a state that you think that you planned, and you see the result is not according to what you thought it would be. And here from a point of despair, you understand that the control is not in your hands, but rather in the hands of the Creator, where you start to work on you.
More and more, it turns out that spiritual values and corporeal values are completely polar opposite to each other. How to understand it and how to hold on to spiritual values, that I think is only by clinging to the lessons, to the Rav, to the friends. Otherwise, a person falls right away.
Meaning, from the side of this world, they put despair, and from the side of the spiritual world, they put doubts and contemplations. And the step you can make now is from the will to receive, the spiritual will to receive, because we know that the step right now is not from the will to receive of this world, but there's an opportunity to make a move here. A spiritual move.
And this is the beauty that we are permitted, where we are led not to identify with my own will to receive in the ego, but with something a bit above me, above my belly. And it's kind of an educational process, if you will.
And the identification with that force is done specifically when a person lowers all that's in him and he seemingly remains without nothing. And from that state, he begins to acquire some new nature, you could say, where he starts to become similar to the Creator by that.
We have to find a way to help each other. We can also see it as the opposite process. The more a person develops and begins to understand what bestowal really is, then the inner resistance grows further and further, and it can drag him to fulfillments they already forgot about. And here the group is the only force that can save him. He has to learn how to correctly work with the group, how to serve it,
That's the state where that ego that's constantly bothering grabs you and kind of surrenders a little and shuts its mouth for a while and you can maybe smell something else in you. And you need to get those forces from the society, from everything around him, the Rav, the books, who are engaged in this, and then you want to connect also to those great people.
Rav, how do I, when I look for my next state, how do I see that it's inside the group, that it's in my integration in them? I want to speed up the stages of conception. So entering the group, why is that the next state? Why do I find it there? How do I kind of hasten, accelerate the time? How does it happen? Even though they are in whatever states they are, say there are literally new people, new students that arrive, and I'm in this business for 10 or 20 years, and I want to integrate with them, and if I do, I move a step forward. If I integrate with them more, I move another step forward. How does that happen?
It happens just like we spoke before. We have to let the Creator operate. He's in the society, the quality of bestowal, and by that a person lets him work and lets him operate upon a person. A sense, the sense, all kinds of discernment states to enter fears and this and that. But it's all inside the society.
Yeah, the person himself cannot attain anything by climbing a mountain and restricting himself. He still remains in his ego. Only in the group he can attain the influence of the light.
How does this happen? It really happens slowly, slowly, because in the beginning it's not something you seek in the society. But slowly, slowly we start to understand that really only in the collective, in the fact that you are incorporated in everyone, that's where the light works upon a person.
Yeah, so how does it happen? I don't know exactly, but probably what's happening is that when a person integrates that way, he connects to that system of godliness. And because the system of godliness is not in him or in me or in you, it's in that connection. And if a person integrates with that, he connects most directly to that force.
We're reading the 13th verse. The main thing is the prayer. The most important is the prayer. That is, one must pray to the Creator to help him go above reason. Meaning that the work should be with gladness, as though he was already been rewarded with the reason of Kedusha. And what joy he would feel then. Likewise, he should ask the Creator to give him this power so he can go above the reason of the body. In other words, although the body does not agree to this work in order to bestow, he asks the Creator to be able to work with gladness, as is suitable for one who serves a great king. He does not ask the Creator to show the greatness of the Creator, and then he will work gladly. Rather, he wants the Creator to give him joy in the work of above reason, that it will be as important to a person as if he already has reason. Rabash, Article 12, these candles are sacred.
In order to help us in that, the Creator brings us sadness, right, Gershon? Usually. Different demands, helplessness, meaning dissatisfaction, and so on and so forth. Why? Because if we won't be empty, then how will we reach a prayer? So all the states, from a little despair to a great despair, a small deficiency to a great deficiency, it is aid from above to shorten our path to reach the prayer, the request. And then the Creator can change this situation, because surely He's the only one that can change it. And then we advance. So how do we see through the despair, the helplessness, the lack of success, the frustration, all those things? How do we see it as an invitation from above, help from above, to advance us to the prayer? And prayer is not that we ask like when children cry. It's when we raise a processed deficiency that is correct, and it operates. It operates in the Creator, and it has to be, it causes, it has to be a cause. It has to evoke, and with that deficiency, the Creator can send, can clothe His light and send it back to us. That deficiency with the light. So let's talk about how that works. How do I find as quickly and correctly as possible that what awakens in me, helplessness, despair, fear, anxiety, frustrations, and all that, is in order to awaken me to a prayer, to the request. Not the request to change the sadness to happiness, like with a baby, like with a little kid, but rather that it's a prayer for my inner change. That in my present state, even though the state itself, whatever He awakens in me, sadness, anxieties, all those things, that I'll feel in it, joyfulness and confidence. What's the difference between determining the state like this or like that, from minus to plus? Only the presence of the Creator, the connection to the purpose. And so, how do I organize from the sadness, the right address to the Creator, so that this address will be like a clothing for the upper light? It's like how the returning light becomes a clothing for the direct light. It's not exactly that way, but it's on track. So I raise a prayer, and I make sure that my address is a clothing for the Creator's help, that His help will be like the direct light that is dressed in my prayer, in my request, in the returning light. And that's how it works to change me. And so in the same states where I felt problems and helplessness and so forth, I'll feel salvation. What's the salvation? Only the presence of the Creator in that already shifts the definition of the state from bad to good. Right, Gershon? Good. So talk about it.
Yes. We have to have the security from me associating it to the upper, and I'm connected to it. And this is where I have the security in this state. The ability to do it is only dependent on how much I'm in the group.
Rav, maybe you should all kind of talk, you know, kind of in a mix. So, talk about the whole process, from the moment I feel bad to the point where I receive aid from above and I determine that it's good. Go ahead.
So I feel bad, and then if I'm absorbed in the society and get the forces from them, at least artificially, to associate it to the Creator.
And then I reach a prayer to finally connect. There's all kinds of prayers, but the concrete prayer of connecting is arrives there.
Yes, I ask for help and then I pray, and then the only help that I can see is in the image of the, my friends.
This I remember that there is a goal to this life, and then I have to reach the Creator, and that the Creator is teaching me to be like Him.
The feeling of evil is from the lack of feeling in the will to receive, and then the connection to the group already becomes a new clique. We hear that there's a place to ask, not for yourself, but for the friends. And from here, it already starts to be clearer that the clothing of the light can only be inside a kli. You yourself can't bring anything. It only will go into your ego. So it's all from the work in the group. From that, you can bring forth the right prayer.
Then you also understand where it's coming from, that it comes from the Creator, and that we have to, that you have to identify with Him and not with whatever state you have.
And to locate those states as fast as possible, which is the Creator, is dependent directly on how much a person incorporates in the society. If he's not integrated in the society, it could be that he also won't get from that. It'll be a long and filled with suffering path. But if he's incorporated in them, really quickly he will calibrate, direct himself to the direction of where he's going and why it's happening to him and the goal of it, actually.
Yeah, everything eventually boils down to that place called integration with the friends, which also designs your address, your prayer, the integration with the friends and the books, etc. It's that shapes the prayer of the person. There's a question about what about the answer of the Creator?
It's very hard to come to that prayer of connection with the friends, but to really want it, and all the process that the Creator is bringing you through, this.
But precisely because the Creator is in the equation, it changes your attitude to the problem, and then the feeling of it is different.
The Creator puts a person into this complexity and also sends them a rope to come out of it.